You're listening to the Study Legal English podcast, the world's first legal English podcast, helping lawyers and law students become fluent in legal English. Hello and welcome to episode 48 of the Study Legal English podcast. I am your host, Louise, and in today's episode, we're looking at the senior courts of England and Wales, those being the Crown Court, the High Court of Justice, and the Court of Appeal. Of course, we also have the Supreme Court, but that's so special that we'll be looking at that in the next episode. So let's get started. Have you heard of the Old Bailey? If you have visited London before, you may have walked past it without even realising it. If you've seen the English legal drama Rumpole of the Bailey, you'll perhaps know that the reason the show is called this is because it involves a barrister who works on criminal defence at, you've got it, the Old Bailey. This building has also featured in Monty Python, the Pirates of the Caribbean, and Sherlock Holmes, amongst others. So, have you guessed what the Old Bailey is yet? Well, the Old Bailey is a common way to refer to the Central Criminal Court, which is where the Crown Court sits in the City of London. But as we'll find out later, there are other locations around the UK where the Crown Court also sits. And the Crown Court is the Superior Criminal Court, which we're beginning with today. The Crown Court acts as a trial court and an appellate court for criminal cases with a very limited and almost non-existent civil jurisdiction. As a court of first instance, it hears all cases involving indictable offences. These are offences which are more serious than non-indictable offences, and they require trial by jury. Indictable offences can include triable either way offences on indictment and indictable only offences. If you remember from the last episode, triable either way offences such as theft are offences which can be tried either as a summary offence or indictable offence, and this is decided by the magistrate's court. The magistrate's court will pass the case involving a triable either way offence onto the Crown Court if it is very complex or if the offence caused serious harm which requires a severe sentence. It may also be the case that the defendant accused of committing an either-way offence opted for trial by jury in the Crown Court, or it may be that the case is sent only to the Crown Court for sentencing. On the other hand, indictable-only offences are the most serious offences, for example rape or murder, and are always tried at first instance by the Crown Court. As a little side note, indictable offences require something called an indictment, and an indictment is a document which declares the charges against the defendant, and this means the formal accusations which assert that the defendant has committed a crime. And in the indictment, in this particular document, these charges are actually called counts. The indictment is issued by the public prosecutor. This is normally the Crown Prosecution Service on behalf of the Crown, and the document is read out loud by the prosecution at the beginning of the trial. If you've ever seen a citation of a criminal case, you will notice that it says R, V, and then the defendant's name, for example, Smith, R. V. Smith. However, this would be read out loud as the Crown against Smith, because it is the Crown Prosecution Service who is prosecuting on behalf of the Crown or the state. The Crown Court also acts as a court of appeal, hearing cases on appeal against conviction and or sentencing from the magistrate's court. Appeals are normally heard by a circuit judge and at least two magistrates. Whilst the Crown Court is considered as a single court, there are many Crown Court centres across England and Wales where judges can sit. These centres are divided into a three-tier system, and this means that there are three types of centres: first tier, second tier, and third tier, each one dealing with different types of cases. The first and second tier centres deal with indictable-only offences and are visited by High Court judges, circuit judges, and a type of part-time judge which is known as a recorder. Third tier centres, on the other hand, don't deal with the most serious indictable-only offences and are only visited by circuit judges and recorders. Furthermore, Crown Court cases are divided into three classes of seriousness, Class 1, 2 and 3, and different judges hear different classes of offences. Class 1 offences are the most serious and are heard by a High Court judge. Class 2 offences are very serious and are heard by a circuit judge under the authority of a presiding judge, whereas Class 3 are all other offences, such as burglary and robbery, tried by a circuit judge or recorder. Let's move on to the next superior court, which is the High Court of Justice. Again, if you've ever visited London, you may have seen or visited the Royal Courts of Justice. It's a fantastic Victorian Gothic building in central London, just as impressive from the inside as the outside. And it is here that the High Court of Justice and the Court of Appeal both sit. Mirroring the grand building are the types of cases heard here, because they too are very grand cases, or rather I should say very complex and serious cases, often with lots of money involved. The ordinary judges here are known as puisne judges, spelt P-U-I-S-N-E, which sounds exactly like another word which we use in general English, which is puisne, spelt P-U-N-Y, which in general English means inferior and weak, and it's got a very negative connotation. The puisne judges, I'm sure, would be very offended if we thought of them as being inferior and weak. And in fact, they are quite special. For example, they receive a knighthood upon appointment. And depending on the type of cases they hear, they may wear a red robe and a wig. A knighthood is where the Queen gives them a special title in recognition for their great public service. And in court, they are known as the Honourable Mr. or Mrs. or Ms. Justice Smith. So, what is the High Court? Well, the High Court is a single court, mostly based at the Royal Courts of Justice in London, but it also includes many centres across England and Wales where judges can sit on High Court cases. And since 2011, the Rolls Building in London is also one of the locations of the High Court. The High Court is split into three divisions: the Queen's Bench Division, the Chancery Division, and the Family Division. And as a general rule, it hears civil cases of first instance and appeals from the Magistrates Court, County Court, and Family Court. Let's look at what each one of these divisions does. The Queen's Bench Division is based mostly at the Royal Courts of Justice in London, with a number of centres around the UK. And it is only called the Queen's Bench Division because, at the moment, the head of state is a queen and not a king. When a king is in charge, it will be known as the King's Bench Division. And the Queen's Bench Division deals mostly with common law civil cases in the area of business, for example, breach of contract, as well as various torts, for example, negligence, trespass, and libel and slander. There are a number of specialist courts within this division, each dealing with an even more specific area. For example, the Administrative Court judicially reviews cases from inferior courts. And if you remember, judicial review is where the court checks whether the decision-making process was correct, and it's not concerned with the actual decision itself. Within the Queen's Bench Division, there are over 70 judges, a number of masters, and it is headed by the President of the Queen's Bench Division. A master is a procedural judge who deals with many aspects of a case before it is tried at first instance, and cases are normally heard by a single High Court judge, and outside of London by a circuit or district judge. Whilst the Queen's Bench Division doesn't hear criminal cases per se, the High Court judges can sit in the Crown Court, hearing very serious criminal cases. They can also sit in the Court of Appeal, Criminal Division, hearing criminal cases on appeal. They also sit in the Employment Appeals Tribunal, and I'll be dealing with tribunals in another podcast episode. The next division of the High Court is the Chancery Division. It's based in the Rolls Building in London with a number of district registries outside of London. It deals with a wide range of civil cases, mainly in the area of property and business disputes. For example, it deals with trusts, business law, probate law, and land law matters related to equity. Within this division, there are various specialist courts, including the Commercial Court and Admiralty Court. There are around 18 High Court judges in this division, as well as a number of Chancery Masters and Insolvency and Companies Court judges, and it is headed by the Chancellor of the High Court. Cases are heard by one High Court judge or one master in London and by a chancery judge or circuit judge outside of London. Moving on, we have the Family Division of the High Court of Justice. The Family Division hears first instance cases concerning very complex and serious family matters, which are too complex for the regular family court to deal with. For example, it has an exclusive jurisdiction in wardship. And wardship refers to the court making a minor, a child under 18, a ward of the court, assuming parental rights and responsibilities for his or her welfare. Care is normally carried out by a local authority, and in some cases, parents pay for the maintenance of the child. It also hears certain cases on appeal related to family matters. And cases are heard by one High Court judge in London and a district judge or circuit judges outside of London. Moving on, we get to the appellate-only courts. These are the Court of Appeal and the Supreme Court of Justice. The Supreme Court of Justice we'll be dealing with in the next episode. So let's look at the Court of Appeal. The Court of Appeal is based in the Royal Courts of Justice in London, with occasional sittings elsewhere in England and Wales. It is a single court split into two divisions, a civil division and a criminal division. And so, you guessed it, it's got jurisdiction to hear both criminal and civil appeals, as well as appeals involving family matters. In order to bring an appeal, the appellant must gain permission from the Court of Appeal itself. Applications for permission to appeal are commonly determined by a single Lord Justice, who may grant permission or refuse permission. The actual appeal, the full appeal, is then heard by two or three judges. The judges consist of the heads of the High Court divisions, and the Lord Justices of Appeal, who are referred to as Lord or Lady Justice, and then their surname, perhaps Smith. The judges don't normally hear evidence, but they review the case as it was heard by the lower court and consider how to apply the law. For the majority of cases, the Court of Appeal is the final stop. However, some important cases go on appeal to the Supreme Court. Let's look specifically at the Court of Appeal Criminal Division. So its president is the Lord Chief Justice, and it hears appeals from, for example, the Crown Court, dealing with convictions, sentences, and on points of law. The bench usually consists of a Lord or Lady Justice, and usually two High Court judges. The court may uphold or reverse a lower court's decision, and in most cases, it doesn't impose a more severe sentence, unless the original sentence was unduly lenient. On the other hand, we have the Court of Appeal Civil Division, which, of course, hears appeals on points of law from all three divisions of the High Court of Justice and their specialist courts, as well as the County Court and some tribunals, for example, the Employment Appeal Tribunal and the Immigration Appeal Tribunal. And the head of the Court of Appeal Civil Division is known as the Master of the Rolls. Great, so that's the end of today's episode. If you have any feedback on today's episode or topic requests for future episodes, please do get in touch. You can send me an email to info@studylegalenglish.com. If you're not signed up to the Study Legal English newsletter, why don't you head over to studylegalenglish.com to sign up? Because the newsletter comes out every month, and I'll give you a clue. Most of the time it's at the beginning of the month, so there could be one coming out soon. And this newsletter normally contains lots of extra tips for studying. And of course, it's completely free. So thanks for listening and see you next time.